Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Mike Palm in for the vacationee Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Fun show lined up over the next 3 hours. We'll sprinkle in a bunch of NBA draft guests throughout. We'll get an update from the Circa standpoint here with Mike on the football contest here, Millions and Survivor and Grandissimo coming up a little bit later on. It's a very busy baseball card, couple of games in action right now. We'll update the live betting numbers. We'll give you bets that we like for tonight as well. Michael, good to see you. How are you today?
Mitch, nice seeing you again. Exciting. We got day baseball to talk about, the NBA draft, trade and hockey that might be going under the radar a little bit here today.
Yeah.
And for all the talk of things going on here and there. And so it's a fun sports day.
And you cannot be serious coming up. Your regular Wednesday staple with us here on the program.
I had to narrow them down. I could have probably had 5 or 6 this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's begin here because I have been tracking this stuff all day today with the odds movement for the NBA draft. And I'll tell you about those because they continue to move here like by the hour the way it seems. Mm. What are the plans here for Circa? You guys are located in 5 states. I was looking on the app. I think it was last night. And I didn't see any future bets up other than like the WNBA. So you guys currently pulled those off the board?
Yeah, we put them up post game 7, Sunday night. We hung them. And then we took them down yesterday and we'll repost Friday after the draft.
So you'll let the carnage clear a little bit and then post everything back up at that point. And I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do then, especially in the Eastern Conference, right? You said something to me before the show started, and nobody, in the last couple of days, everybody's making a case for a long shot in the East.
Yeah, we've heard it. We had a guest on Monday with Matt Humans and I, too. But to me, looking at the odds and saying that the Knicks and Cavaliers are the same odds seems to me like the Cavaliers should be the clear favorite here. They were clearly the number one seed, even against a healthy Boston team, and they were riddled by injuries with 3 starters out in that series against Indianapolis. I would think this team would run it back, and they would have to be favored going in, but right now, a coin flip. I know people don't want to lock up their money for 12 months, and if they do, it's on a longer shot. I just thought that market is going to move before the season starts.
Yeah, you might be onto something there, right? Again, it, paying attention, watching that game on Sunday night, then seeing where the odds were going to open up after the NBA Finals eventually got over with. You know, and I just, people were texting me and I saw write-ups about it and hey, grab this number right now before it's gone because they're going to have a case. And not one person until right now said, grab the Cavaliers.
What did you hear? Did you hear Hawks? Did you
hear Hawks.
Raptors?
I heard Raptors. Yeah. I heard 76ers, right? I have not heard anybody say the Bucks at like 28-1. Just, and we're talking only to win the conference now, not forget about the NBA title, just to win the Eastern Conference.
Your feelings on Giannis? Now he's under contract, but do the Bucks look to move him?
I almost think that you kind of have to.
You'll never get more for him than right now.
No, this is it right now.
And I don't think they can build a team around him to get back to the NBA Finals while he's there.
When you think about it, right, how badly they screwed this up, I think they're at the very top here of the list, right, to botch everything. You have an all-time talent on your team and the Eastern Conference here. Again, the people have made the case for the Pistons. People are making the case for other teams here on the list. As the Magic, I mean, my God, they're on to plus 550, right? And here you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's still basically in his prime, and not a single person has said, yeah, you know what, take Milwaukee next year. It's completely wide open. He's the best player in the East. It's because the team stinks, and they re-signed the GM who's responsible for all of this. And now, of course, it's much like some of these other teams now with the Achilles injuries. How do you possibly get out of the Damian Lillard contract? Not going to play next year.
Can't.
No.
But the East is wide open if you think about Tatum may not play, and now Halliburton may not play for the year. And so, but the Knicks don't even have a head coach yet. So, I mean, I just, this number was 280 when I looked at it on Monday, by the way. So it's crept down a little bit already.
Going down a little bit now?
Yeah.
How badly do you think the Knicks have screwed this up, by the way?
I can't believe they let him go unless they had a replacement. I thought for sure it would be Malone would be announced the next day. Right. And now that, you know, they're asking to talk to everybody. I mean, Milwaukee's asking them to talk to Doc Rivers, but they've declined.
That's the whole thing. You're going to, I mean, it felt like it was amateur hour at the very beginning of the process when we all found out and that bombshell dropped, like, hey, Thibodeau's not going to come back. We're like, well, who are they going to get that's going to do better than what he did in the last 4 to 5 years there? I mean, I can't think of a single head coach that would be that much of a difference maker there. And then, well, you know, they're going to have trust the team, right? Leon Rose and everybody else involved. They know what they're doing. They've made good moves. Go back to last year, bringing in Bridges and Carl Anthony Towns. And you're like, fast forward a couple of weeks and still no progress?
And they'll go right back to where they were before. Thibodeau to being a team competing for a 6, 7, or 8 or a play-in spot. And, I mean, it's, they did the best they had in 20 years, and they have an identity as a team and play defense. So do you think tonight's draft, there's anybody that's going to move the needle for a team that can take a team from a team that was outside the playoffs last year to a team that's going to be in the playoffs this year?
No, probably not. I mean, like, look at the very top. First of all, well, what would you think about Flagg going to Dallas? They're going to be in the Western Conference, and they're going to that's a logjam with like 10 teams. That's not even including Oklahoma City at the very top, who just won the title.
Yeah, it's very tough. I mean, you've got Denver still there with the Joker. Minnesota's still an up-and-coming team, although, and I have this very unpopular opinion, I would trade Edwards if I were them, if I could get what I wanted.
Oh, you would?
Because I don't think he'll, if he ever does, by the time he gets the emotional maturity to lead a team to a championship, his physical skills will have diminished.
It's going to be too late.
It's going to be too late for this guy. All the red flags are there. I mean, I don't care how talented he is. When he shuts down in these critical games, the team follows. He's the leader. So you can make an argument for the Lakers. What can they do with if they spend more money? Yeah, it's a very tough Western Conference.
Well, I'll give you this. This is the obvious answer, though, probably to give you one team. It would be what's going to happen with a number two pick overall tonight, and that's San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, forget about it. Flagg is minus 20,000. Harper is, you know, creeping up to that same number, like minus 8,000 or maybe even a little bit more at some spots. I mean, getting Wembanyama back from the injury, Stephen Castle in year number two, traded for De'Aaron Fox before the deadline last year. And if Harper is as good as what people think that he's going to be, maybe the Spurs would be that one team. And but you really can't even bet the Spurs right now because they're so low based on everybody. That's already it's already baked into the whole number there. They could also get creative, though, and potentially trade the number two pick overall tonight.
What do you think? If you posted a number on that, what would you need to take that they were going to move the number two pick?
I don't think it would be that big of a number.
No,
I really wouldn't. And because we're seeing right now what the Celtics are doing, right? And they maybe want to cut some more fat with the salary problems that they're facing now with the new ownership. A lot of talk about teams, you know, calling. They have interest in Jaylen Brown, maybe even Derek White as well. I mean, that would be something where I think the Celtics, it would make a lot of sense for them if they're going to continue going down this path. That's a huge salary to get out from underneath with Jaylen Brown. You could swap him and turn it into like the number two pick overall in the draft. And then when Tatum comes back in 2 years, I mean, that's when I think Brad Stevens is kind of circling the whole time frame right now. And I think that team would be good to go back in that Eastern Conference race.
Do you think that San Antonio would have to give up more than this pick to get Jaylen Brown? Or do you think this is a 50-50 even swap?
Well, in the NBA, you never know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like, that's it. Or if they also included like four other picks. I mean, whoever saw the Desmond Bane trade coming, right? And Orlando giving up how many picks they gave for that guy. So maybe they would give up a couple more picks down the road because I think the Celtics would probably want to ask for that because they could always say, well, Brown's a proven guy, right? I mean, yes, we're taking the number two pick in the draft tonight in Harper, but we don't know.
What does that mean? I think that the NBA draft is the second most unpredictable to Major League Baseball of the four sports, right? Of the hit and misses?
Oh, my God. You basically never have any idea unless, I mean, look, Flagg is thought of as, you go back to LeBron, it's Wembanyama, LeBron, and this guy as the best prospects coming out, right? So I would think that he is going to hit and probably be like on an all-star level. All these other guys, I have no idea.
I asked Paul on a show when you were out, what would it say that Flagg had a great NBA career? Like if you were going to set some bar, he played 15 years, was an 8-time first team All-Pro, won 2 titles. I mean, what are the odds of that happening? It's probably pretty low, isn't it?
Well, all of that happening?
Yeah, for him to have that career.
I would say that's pretty low.
Say it 12 years. I mean, you could even move that along. But
that's certainly not even money. That's a decent plus price.
Right. So, I mean, can't miss. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, I don't. I'm just saying that he probably is the third best prospect in the last two plus decades.
I think he's going to have a very nice career.
That sounds about right.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, would it surprise me if he makes an All-Star game like five times and that's the list, you know? And the Mavericks, and who knows how long he would play in Dallas. I mean, these players are always on the move nowadays. If they made an NBA final, like a couple years into it, because he's under the rookie contract, and I mean, can you trust that organization to put together the right move? Probably not after what happened earlier in the season, but in theory, they're set up, right? I mean, they really are.
They had injury problems last year, too, right? The young kids, that those forwards were all hurt, and you know, that was thought to be a team that was going to compete in the West, right? It was a top four or five team.
Oh, yeah.
And they had some major injury issues. So they have some pieces there. They don't have the superstar, the reliable superstar that you need.
Right. So Edgecombe today, earlier this morning, was minus 275 to go third. He's now minus $6 at DraftKings. Knepel, it was minus 170. He's now minus 250 to go fourth. Fears was plus 190 a couple of hours ago. He's minus 125 to go fifth now overall. So basically, think about that. And now Bailey from Rutgers is minus 110 to go sixth. He was plus 150.
I'd take against that. I think this kid's going to fall further than they thought. He was five. Now he's six.
He
doesn't work out for anybody. A lot of issues, mental head case, that stuff. That's the one that's the most volatile, I think.
All right. We'll update the live betting numbers in Major League Baseball coming up next. Plus, he became the second player in history to accomplish this. And as a result, his odds drop like a rock. Details next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We'll tie in what happened last night with a stellar debut in Major League Baseball to what is going on as we speak in that sport. First off, to begin and recap, Chase Burns on the mound for the Reds. Did you watch that start for him against the Yankees? So this is from OptiStats on X. In Major League Baseball history, only two pitchers have done the following over the first two innings of any start, regular, postseason, or all-star game. Struck out six batters, allowed no runs, struck out three former MVPs. Carl Hubbell did it in 1934, the All-Star game. The other, Chase Burns last night for the Reds. And so I didn't see it either, but I was listening to Primetime with Tim Murray and Will Hill on the drive home last night, and they were going absolutely crazy during the game, and it was great. And Will Hill, and this is also in the Daily Newsletter today, at vsin.com/subscribe. Will Hill pointed out that he grabbed some Burns over the weekend at 100-1. Then on Sunday, he was as low as 3-1. And last night, because of that start, that's basically where the number was as he was whiffing all of those Yankees in the game. And it's like, how low is this going to go? Is he going to go to like even money? Well, the update now, because Jacob Mizorowski went today again for the Brewers, and he was absolutely fabulous again, and they lead Pittsburgh right now 4-2, and that game is in, I think, the eighth inning. So in his first three starts, he struck out eight today. Mizorowski has pitched 16 innings. He's faced 56 batters. He's allowed three hits, two earned runs, and 19 Ks. Moments ago, he was minus 110 at DK and minus 130 at FanDuel to win the award. Burns back up to like plus 750 or plus 850.
Mizorowski was 10-1 before his start in Minnesota on Friday night. After four perfect innings, he was down to plus 275, plus 280. And now you see he's got a net minus number in front of him here.
You were watching the game because you texted me on Friday night.
I was texting you. Are you watching this kid pitch? It's incredible, his stuff. To throw 102... And then have a slider at 96, and you saw that stat. He threw 21 pitches. You sent to me on Saturday morning. 21 pitches of 100 miles an hour or more. 18 strikes, 15 swinging strikes.
Yep.
I mean, it's
incredible stuff.
Yeah, the stuff is electric. He needs to develop a third pitch, but I mean, for right now, he's given up one hit in each start.
It's only the 100 plus heater, and then the 94, 95, 96 mile an hour slider. There was a video today. I think it was either the Brewers account or Major League Baseball. He struck out somebody for the Pirates. painted right on the outside corner. I mean, perfect pitch, 94 mile an hour slider. It's like, how do you possibly touch that? The batter was so confused. Like, are you serious?
I was going back to the stat you threw out about Hubble and Burns. I remember the All-Star game in 86 when Fernando pitched two innings, but I think it was like the third and the fourth inning, and he struck out five out of six.
Yeah.
Wasn't six. The batters he struck out were Mattingly, Cal Ripken Jr., Jesse Barfield, Lou Whitaker, and Teddy Higuera. Pretty impressive lineup there as well.
Well, pretty good, minus Teddy Higuera.
two MVPs. So
right, yes, not bad. But these, you mentioned this on the air, I think, when you were talking to Greg Maddux a couple of weeks back here during the charity poker event, and just like at people who have control but don't throw 100 miles an hour, those players don't really make it. And we're just, look at how many young studs we have right now in baseball.
It's hard to sell to a 15 or 16-year-old kid that control is going to get you a $1 million contract.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about spin. It's all about spin rate and velocity. And so that's why we see the game we do. But you're right. He has demonstrated through three starts. Now, he had the walk, and I think he had a couple walks today, and then one walk to start off the seventh inning against Minnesota. But the control has been very good. And I excused that bottom of the seventh in Minnesota because it was over a half hour. They scored all those runs in the top of the seventh, and I think he sat there long, and that really affected him.
I thought also the game was maybe a little bit mispriced today. Mm-hmm. The Pirates can't hit. This has been a season-long thing. Now, it is Paul Skeens we're talking about, who is right there with Skubal as like the two best pitchers on the planet. But the Brewers have been a wagon now for, I don't know, a month?
They're playing really well. I love the way that he coaches this team. They put constant pressure on you when they get on base. They're go, 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 go. They take all the right bases. They tag up when they play it right. I think people were worried in Milwaukee, Mitch, and you know this, that when Council left, they were going to, I think they got an upgrade at manager.
This is also why it's difficult. I mean, you're not going to be betting guys at this point. We got 3 months left of the season. Skeens is like minus $3 to win the Cy Young.
And I know people, the numbers tell different, but I don't think he's been as dominant as he was last year.
I don't think so.
I watch almost every start, Mitch. And he kind of labors through five or six, and you know he knows they're not going to score any runs for him. I think that's a problem as well.
That hurts.
But they don't give him any support. What's he going to be now, 4-7 or whatever after this loss? If Milwaukee hangs on and they're up 4-2 in the eighth as they go to the bottom of the eighth? Yeah, to me, when I look at them, I think Skubal is much more dominant between the two. If you look at him, and he got tagged for a couple two-run homers last night at home against the A's, but he's much more like a machine than Skeens was. But you can't argue. Like when they played in that game, they played the doubleheader last week, and I wish Manfred would have mandated that Skubal and Skeens had a pitch in the same game and have Fox pick it up on a national basis. The Tigers broadcast, which I was listening to at Bar Canada, did a great job of putting up all these Paul Skeens stats, right? He has the lowest ERA in the history of baseball through 40 starts. Since the year 2000, there's only three pitchers that have a lower OBS against them than him, and it's like Kershaw, Mariano Rivera, and Pedro than Skeens. I mean, the numbers are just stunning so far through his career, but yet I don't see him as being as dominant as he was last year. Maybe that's because he took the league by storm, but I just think he has to work out of maybe his control's a little better this year, but he's still working out of more innings with runners on base than you would like with somebody that has that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I do think we have a couple of other pitchers going tonight. Oh. Like, if Skeens doesn't win the Cy Young this year in the National League, and one of the, like, a Zach Wheeler goes, and he's plus 450 to win the Cy Young right now at DK, and Logan Webb is down to 7-1 right now, they have unbelievable numbers.
What's Wheeler right now? I bet him at 6-1 before the season.
Plus 450 at DraftKings.
A little bit. I think Webb is interesting. And we know how good he is at home, and he gets the Marlins tonight, so you would expect another great start.
Mm-hmm.
I played this game first five under 3.5 because Cabrera's been pretty good lately also. I think Webb, if you look at the statistics and analytics people, when you look at some of these things, I mean, Webb's WAR is better. Webb's XFIP is better. I saw a stat, you know, he pitched seven innings against Cleveland. What was it, last Thursday? Since 2018, starts of seven innings or more in Major League Baseball. Logan Webb has 27 more of those starts than anybody else in Major League Baseball.
27 more.
More than anyone else in Major League Baseball of going seven or more.
Well, his outs prop tonight against this Miami team is 20.5.
So to go seven, right?
It's juiced over. I can't remember the last time I saw a 20.5, right? It's always like for these, even the best pitchers in baseball, it's like 18.5 is one
That's
of the highest
high.
Numbers you're going to find.
18.5 is high.
So Webb's ERA at home this year is 1.35. The home road splits have always been dynamite for this guy. 1.35 ERA in 8 starts at home this year. He's got a 2.00 ERA in night games, but when you break it down, he's made 4 home starts at night this year, Mike. Mm. 29 1/3 innings pitched, 0.31 ERA.
How much is the juice on the over 20.5?
It was like -125.
That's not that bad.
No, not awful. And to expand on that even more, he's made 5 straight starts of at least 6 innings pitched and 8 out of 9, and he went 7 innings in 7 innings or more in 6 of those starts. And he has pitched at least 6 innings in every home start but one, and he's recorded 21 plus outs in 5 of them.
And you're going against the Marlins.
That's exactly right.
Right.
I don't hate it, to be honest. And but 20.5, again, is, I think, the highest prop number I've seen
all
year
long. I always balk at 18.5 because I think guys got 6 in, and most managers are going to say 6 inning quality start. I don't know if I'm going to risk 7. I like to bet Lugo. If Lugo's 17.5, it's an auto over for me.
Okay.
Because I know he can throw 110 pitches. But that extra half after, you know, from 17.5 to 8.5 is a big one.
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely massive.
How about last night in Houston, that pitching matchup?
Well,
that
was great. And both guys went
playoff
deep.
Atmosphere last night in Houston.
Yeah. Bet smarter this football season, and VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in future markets before the lines move. Now is the perfect time to join with our football special, only $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day, special early bird price. And the sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be the first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you're going to get a daily best bet email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for only $175. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Kevin Sweeney on the program next from the Field of 68. We'll hit the NBA draft with him. We'll discuss bets that are still worth making. And that's because the draft is starting now in only a few hours.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
See if we have any bets to make as of right now. A lot of books leaving these NBA draft numbers still on the board to bet before it starts in a couple of hours. And we head out here to the Progressive guest line as Kevin Sweeney joins the program now. He's with Sports Illustrated and the Field of 68. You can follow him on X. He is at CBB_Central. Kevin, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm good. Busy day. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, you bet. So 1 and 2, we know what's going to happen in terms of which players are going to go anyway. The betting odds tell you it's going to be obviously Cooper Flagg 1 and then Dalen Harper, number 2 overall. He's like -8,000 now. Earlier today at DraftKings, Vijay Edgecombe to go 3rd overall, Kevin, was -275. And I know these numbers have been changing for weeks now. As we speak, a couple of hours before the draft, he's now -$6 at DK. Would you say it's almost a sure thing that he's going to go 3rd tonight?
I think assuming Philadelphia keeps the pick, you know, all signs point to Vijay Edgecombe being the selection. I do think there's, you know, a lot of uncertainty about teams potentially trying to move up to either 3 or 4 to get into the Ace Bailey sweepstakes, trying to jump Utah at 5 and Washington potentially at 6. But, you know, I do think if Philly keeps the pick, which I believe they will, that Edgecombe is certainly the leader in clubhouse at the moment.
Okay, something that we kicked around to begin the hour. I'll go back to number 2 here for a second. We said any chance here the Spurs would trade number 2. There's a lot of rumors out there. Jaylen Brown could be on the move, whoever that superstar player would be. Would you say that there's any chance tonight that the Spurs, or any decent chance the Spurs would trade number 2 overall for a star player?
You know, I think there's, you know, maybe a small chance, but look, I think part of the reason the Spurs would draft Harper is it's the best player available move. And anyone who'd be trying to move up to two would also want Dylan. So I think there's probably a little less urgency among teams to make that trade today, knowing that, you know, at the end of the day, that the Spurs would own the asset and then could dangle either him or some of their other young players like Stephon Castle rookie this past year in talks for a start like Jaylen Brown.
Kevin, I'm interested in Carter Bryant, who, depending on the book you look at, is favored to go 10th slightly, or certainly to go 12th or 10th, 11th, or 12th. I watched this kid play at Arizona. Very good defender, very quick, but really almost no offensive game to him whatsoever. You have to leave him wide open. Is he really going to go that high?
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. You know, I think, you know, his floor is probably 15 to Oklahoma City. But I'd be surprised if he's not in the lottery, you know, that 10 to 14 range. Phoenix is very interested. You know, I think he could go to Portland at 11. You know, certainly Atlanta at 13 could be an option as well. I think, teams love his upside. You know, maybe he will never be, a anchor scorer at the next level. But he is a very good three-point shooter. He's got great positional size. And if you look at the guys that have had success in the playoffs, these role players that are so valuable, it's guys that have size, feel for the game, defensive ability, and the ability to knock down three-point shots. And Carter Bryant does all those things.
What do you make of Ace Bailey here, the afternoon of the draft? Been dropping, I'm not going to say like a rock, but obviously he chose this direction to not meet with teams. And as a result, people were making the case, you know, weeks ago that he could go third overall. Now he's the favorite to go sixth tonight. Where do you think he eventually lands?
Yeah, look, I think if there's no movement, you know, sixth is probably the most likely landing spot, although I wouldn't be shocked if Utah took him at five. I think the question is, and really what Ace and his camp have been betting on is that, you know, these teams in the 6 to 8 range, which is Washington, New Orleans, and Brooklyn, want Ace so badly that they're willing to move up to four to ensure that they get him, or move up to three. I think, you know, lots been made of his pre-draft. I really think, you know, it's more really questions about his game and his fit and how ready he is to contribute, and also how the lottery shook out. You know, number three in Philly is a team that wants to win right away. Charlotte's, you know, pivoting towards trying to push towards the playoffs. They have a young core already with LaMelo and Brandon Miller. You know, these guys, you know, don't necessarily have a ton of appetite for an 18-year-old who wants to shoot all the balls.
Kevin, I realize that not all college superstars games translate to the NBA, and not all NBA stars were dominant in college. But what does it say about the Rutgers program that they're going to have two guys selected in the top five or six tonight and didn't make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, obviously it was a unique situation, a disappointing year for Steve Peichel and Rutgers. I think, you know, they did not do a great job of surrounding those two guys with the types of role players you need, you know, rim protection, shooting, stable ball handling. This is a weirdly constructed group. Now, part of that, it was the NIL situation. Rutgers is not a loaded financial entity, and, you know, most of its budget was taken up on Ace and Dylan, who were, in many ways sort of once-in-a-generation recruits for them. Dylan grew up in New Jersey. His brother played at Rutgers. Otherwise, you know, they're never getting him. And then Ace, went on a visit early in his high school career, fell in love with the place, had a great relationship with their top assistant, Brandon Knight, and wound up there. Neither were really healthy throughout the season. You know, Dylan Harper had an ankle injury. Ace had issues early in the year with his health. And so the year just never got off the ground. Obviously, it was frustrating. And you'd like to see them contribute more to winning. But I think it's hard to indict either guy or really, you know, any individual factor. It was sort of a comedy of errors that caused that year to fall apart.
Good answer. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Kevin Sweeney, covers college basketball, the NBA draft for Sports Illustrated in the Field of 68. You can follow him on X at CBB_Central. Is there a bet currently on the board that you've looked at in the last, I don't know, few hours or so today that you think is still worth betting?
Yeah, obviously things change so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten a sense, and I think it depends, you know, what books you look at, but I've seen some opportunities to bet, you know, player over-unders. You know, I think there's a real world where guys like Derek Queen and Kasper Jakachionis fall. I saw Jakachionis, I think, with The over and under was at 11.5. I think there's a world where he, you know, falls, you know, later in the lottery or potentially out of the lottery altogether. But, you know, obviously these numbers changed. The last time I looked, maybe they're different than they are now.
Kevin, do the Timberwolves at 17 have a shot to get Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida?
I'd expect him to be on the board, yeah.
I think that that would be a need for them. A point guard with leadership ability for that team to pair with Edwards. I thought that was a unique situation.
Okay. So as of right now, Kevin, the top five picks are all odds on to go there, right? Flag 1, Harper 2, Edgecombe now 3. Konkanepo is sitting there at minus 250. Earlier today, he was minus 170. And then to go fifth overall, Jeremiah Fears went from plus 190 to minus 125. What do you think would have to happen tonight for those five picks not to be the exact order?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned the trade possibilities. That would really shake things up. I think the other possibility would be that, you know, Charlotte, you know, pivots a little bit in their direction. Instead of going for Konkanepo, they go after the other shooter on the board, Trey Johnson, whose range seems to be somewhere between 4 and 8. And if they took Trey, who's a little bit more naturally talented, but maybe a little more raw and a little less polished, then all of a sudden I think, you know, there's a real conversation about Knipple at 5 instead of Jeremiah Fears. Fears would certainly still be in play, and then you still have the Bailey factor hanging in. So I think you really watch things at 4 and see how that plays out.
Do you think Oklahoma City will be active tonight because they have so many picks coming up in the next, you know, few years that there is no circumstance where they can keep all the guys that they're going to have to draft?
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, you know, they have 15 and 24 in this first round, and they don't have two roster spots likely available. So I would expect that, you know, they try to package them to move up. You know, I know they like Noah Essenge from, you know, the who's French originally, played in Germany this year. Johan Berenger is another international prospect that they're high on who could go in the late lottery. And so I think they'll look to package them. And if not, they'll probably have to dump that 24th pick for, you know, a future asset down the line.
Do you think we're going to get a lot of trades tonight in general, like in the lottery?
Yeah, I think there will be a lot of activity. You know, I think there's just so much, you know, so many undercurrents to where things are in the NBA, how wide open the Eastern Conference is, the collective bargaining agreement, and how that's reshaped the importance of draft picks. And so you combine that with, you know, guys like Ace Bailey who are super polarizing near the top of the draft, and I think it sets up for a pretty active night of movement. And once the movement starts, I think it tends to you know, add on to itself. And mm-hmm. I think we're on our way to a busy night.
Hey, Kevin, that was a great spot. Thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Thanks.
Thank there you. Go.
Kevin Sweeney, Sports Illustrated, the Field of 68 on X at CBB_Central here on the day of the NBA draft. All right, he likes a couple of position picks, if you can still find them, that he said there in that interview. You like the idea of getting Richard with Minnesota?
I do.
Yeah?
I really do. I think, and he says, and Kevin said he'll be available. He'll be on the board.
You do not like Anthony Edwards, huh?
I think that the peripheral issues surrounding him and his emotional maturity are tough. And I think Chris Finch is a much better coach than people think.
That's right. You like Chris Finch
quite a bit,
don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll have Mike give an update on the Circa football contest coming up next. They need 15,000 entries to avoid an overlaying Circa survivor. How confident is he in getting that number here on June 25th? Welcome in. Good to have you on board here. Mike Palm filling in for Paulie Howard, who is on vacation for the rest of the week. Mike, you're going to be here for the next 3 days. Top of the hour, we'll get into door number one. Door number two, we'll compare betting markets with similar numbers at that time. Looking at the board behind us now, you guys update how many entries you have into your three different football contests now on a daily basis. You're at more than 400 for Circa Millions. That feels like a really good number there.
Casey's slightly low. It's actually below last year.
We had fewer than 400 last year?
Yeah, I think we were at like 450, 448 or something.
Oh, so it's a handful behind.
10% about behind.
Okay. In Survivor, it's higher than 1,300.
20% higher, pacing early. And what I like to is I listen to the proxies. If you come in here on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there's three or four proxies just with appointment after appointment every week.
There are two proxies sitting behind us like every day now.
Yeah.
They just sit there. And I think it's not even just like the appointments, obviously, it's stragglers.
Strays, the strays.
Sure, yeah. They come in, like, what is this? How do I sign up? Well, here's how you do it.
They put the hours in.
Right.
Especially Tom and his son. So yeah, they're here every day. So, and when you talk to them, they say the repeat business, most people who were in Survivor last year and this year, they do at least one more entry than they had last year.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's good. And of course, you'll pick up new players as well. So that's pacing well. I put Matt Eumanns, I think, asked me to put the number to this the other day, my over-under for Survivor. I said 18.3 million. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if we got to 20.
Wow. Is that right?
Well, we went up 5 million last year.
I know. I understand.
Unless Grandissimo kills it, because everybody will do the 100,000 instead of doing 10 Survivors.
Well, won't the people who do Grandissimo also grab the 10?
Maybe.
Different
contest. Totally different strategy when you're playing against 20 or 30 people.
No doubt.
15,000.
No doubt. So even like behind the counter now, you got, is that just you talking, or is that you and other people here saying, I think we can get to 18, 19, maybe even 20,000 entries?
That's me. A lot of people thought Derek would put the guarantee at 16 or 17, right? Those were the common guesses. Mm. Went up a little. I said, well, I put the guarantee on at all. And he said, well, you have to. That's why people come early, because they know that they know there's going to be a certain amount of money in the pool. But that's me. You're the one who was more optimistic about this contest than anybody 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, no, and I actually, 20,000 was my original number going back to last year. But, I mean, if you're that confident already here, we're not even on July, at July yet, that tells me it's probably a pretty good chance it's going to happen.
I talk to so many people every day, Mitch, that say, I'm coming out in July, I'll see you this week in August, that are, you know, they're all coming for the to sign up. And remember, last year, the last 3 days, we did over 1,000 each day.
The last 3 days you did?
Entries, yeah. Saturday, but the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that last
week. What did you have over the last week or the last 2 weeks? Do you remember that?
I remember over the last week, we did just short of 6,000 over the last 7 days.
Oh, man, okay.
Yeah.
So then if you get to 20,000 entries this year, I would think that the guarantee is going to be close to that next year. If Derek has to have a guarantee on it.
Well, he always will go up, right?
Of course.
He's never going to go backwards.
No.
So the other thing is with the Grandissimo. Now, the board only says one because the person didn't officially enter. But we had someone yesterday wire in the 100,000. And then, of course, they're going to be on part of this JXS flight from
their
city.
Oh, so they're coming out of town.
They'll
okay.
come with their wife and then come and sign up. So that's really two, because we've gotten the money. Now, something could happen. But I count that as two. And then there's supposed to be somebody coming out next week to buy two entries. So maybe we'll be at four by the end of next week.
Four by July 1st. Four entries.
I would have went way under, because I would say people don't want to lock up the 100,000 for.
That would have been my guess.
But, you know, you and I don't like to lock up the 5,000, but maybe some people, that's not a big deal to lock up the 100.
I'm guessing it's probably not.
Maybe not.
Yeah. And so overall, if you're going to get four in by maybe July 1st, July 2nd, something along those lines, then what does that change your number overall?
I still said I thought it was high 30s. I think this will be well received. I could be way wrong. But it's a lot better to know that there's four now than that there's one heading into 2 weeks before the season kicks, right?
Yeah.
Which I thought was a very real possibility.
Sure. And you have to get to 15 there
15.
To match the overlay.
But Mitch,
or
if we're sitting at eight with 2 days to go, you know the poker players are going to come in with the overlay and buy up some entries.
There's no question. I would suspect, again, going back to when you guys first announced this, my whole takeaway was it's going to be massive for the poker crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
For sure. A guy like a Sean Perry will come in and buy two, and these guys will also form corporations and get in.
Yeah, I heard about there was one group going to sign up where they were probably going to have at least five partners.
Not.
And is that going to be common?
Sure, maybe more than that.
Maybe more than that. I'm very curious. Like, what's the then?
They better have clear rules of who's making the picks.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I know Amal says that he had problems for 3 years with one partner. And he said he'll never do it again with a partner, not Survivor. He can do millions, and you can split it up three and two, or have
right.
some way of determining what your picks are. But both of the years that he made deep runs and he got knocked out, they ended up making his partner's pick and not his in week 12 and week 14. And he said, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, that's going to hurt. You're probably going to not get over that to this day yet, right? Okay, so I'm so like...
Hopefully Paulie's gotten over it from last year, right? Sometimes the partner's picks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But how do you like assign the power overall?
You better make it clear from the beginning. It's probably going to be one guy has the ultimate authority.
That's what I would think, right?
You get together, you have a phone call, you have a text conversation, and then one guy has to make the decision.
He'll be the godfather of the group, so to speak.
Yeah.
How many NFL bets have you made so far?
I have made Rams to win the NFC West, Rams to win the NFC, Vikings over 8.5, and Broncos over 9.5. Those are the four bets I've made in the NFL so far.
Okay, and then did you have any college yet?
I have not made any college yet. Oh. I'm going to let Paul Stone do all the work, I think.
He'll be on with us tomorrow. Right? He'll be on, and then you can cherry pick. You can go and grab some. This is interesting because the first bet that I made in the offseason going back many months ago was the Rams to win the Super Bowl. I love the team. I think they're going to...
Was this before, during, or after the time that they were shopping Matthew Stafford?
It was the day that he announced that he was going to come back.
Okay.
I needed full clarity on that because I could not get myself to bet them with that news, like, unknown, right? Because I still think Matthew Stafford...
I think he's top four, Mitch.
Still today, right now.
Top four quarterback in the NFL.
He's 37 years old, and Matthew Stafford is playing some of the best football I've ever seen him play.
Mitch, I know it's a short sample, you say the playoffs, but, I mean, if they block Jalen Carter on second down, they got a pretty good shot of scoring a touchdown and being hosting the NFC Championship game.
Exactly right.
They destroyed the Vikings the week before.
Absolutely, they did. They took them apart. That was never even a game.
No.
And then so you have all of these – I cannot believe the job that they have done in the front office because they had no picks, right? They gave them all up. They were signing all these guys to huge contracts. They had no depth. It's like, this is going to be a problem. Nope, it wasn't. And they hit it like out of the park, with especially on defense, and all of these young guys on defense who have been like superb last year in their rookie season, going back 2 years ago. They're only going to get better, and they're going to be playing together now for one more year. Like that, the defense, look, I don't know what the weakness is overall. You know, knock on wood right now, but you got to love the running game. And this is way before they added Devontae Adams as well.
Coach is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
What number did you get for the Super Bowl?
30.
30?
That was available the day that... Yeah,
he said he was staying.
Yeah.
I feel bad now that I bet them to win the division, though. I got plus 210, but I feel bad now looking at the 49ers schedule. Like the 49ers could be average and go 12-5.
They could go over on an accident, kind of. Easy
as
schedule
much as
in
you
football.
Hated, remember, the biggest bet was the under last year?
Yeah.
How could they not go over this year?
I would only look at going over this year. Like, that's it, right? And that's the same thing kind of with me with the Lions. As high as I was on them last year, I can't go over 10.5 with their schedule this season. And with how many, you know, the coordinators losing both those guys, no thanks.
I think that whole division hinges on J.J. McCarthy. However you want to attack that division, any of the four teams, it's a lot hinges on J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. Before the line moves, the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You are not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sports books or full-time pro bettors on your own. But with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email or X. And this isn't some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011, receipts, public logs, and results right there available on the site. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by sportsbooks. Check them out now at sharpplays.com. Yeah, so I think there's a chance where the Niners could actually have a better regular season than the Rams, and they would obviously have home field under that scenario if they were going to meet. But I'll still take my chances with the Rams. And I did not. What you said you bet them to win the NFC?
I did bet them to win the NFC.
And what number was that?
17-1. This was before Stafford announced he was coming back.
That's it.
I just thought they weren't going to get rid of him.
Yeah. Okay. You were so you took that opinion, that stance, and
if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
17-1 is awfully good. Up next, we'll compare betting markets with similar numbers, door number one or door number two. It makes you think when looking at the MVP and comparing it to the Cy Young Award. That's next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.